going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You've got me, Kevin Hagland. You have Corey Majors. And today, Alec is done with us. I don't know if he'll be back tomorrow. Finally. Maybe if Ross does a really great job today, he will just take Alex's job.
You're always trying to pit people against each other like this.
Yeah, because competition brings the best out of us.
Yep, that's exactly why the Cowboys drafted some of the people that they drafted this
year. Oh, that is a professional transition. Ross, out of a scale of 1 to 10, how well do you think you're going to do today?
I'm going to guess, so 10 obviously being the best.
Mm-mm. Nope, 10's actually the worst.
Okay,
the
no. Well, then
Stop
I'm going to go with a hard
Stop
8.
This. All right. Just real quick, because hard. Mike would always do this. He would always go, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest. If you live in the world, you know how the scale works.
I don't know. I think you have to explain just so people understand.
No, you know what? You can explain why you don't want to be that person's friend anymore. That's what you need to explain in that instance.
From the 817, saw Alec all over SmackDown. So there, he's really jealous that he was on Smashdown.
So I have a theory. Okay. I have a theory. Alec's going to be like, oh, yeah, like dentist appointment or whatever today. But realistically, I think he's partied out from the weekend.
Touchdown Jesus says he thought he was going to get drafted. So that's why he.
Oh, man.
He didn't make it in today.
Ooh, as what? I guess.
Dude.
What?
Wow.
He doesn't have any.
He could be a running back.
Yeah, he could for the Cowboys. He went to SmackDown. He went to the Travis Scott concert. I think he is just fatigued from too much partying.
I get it. I've been fatigued before.
Okay. Thank you for that, Corey.
You need a day off every once in a while, man.
All right. Go ahead and hit me with cut number 8, if you will, Ross, because Corey, he just kind of talked about it. I wanted to get people's feel for the Cowboys put need versus best player available to the test. Like, you literally saw it happen on Friday. What do we think of this strategy?
With the 44th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Dallas Cowboys select Donovan Ezeraku, defensive end, Boston College.
Now, have we decided for sure it's Ezeraku? With that pick and the third round pick, the Cowboys, I mean, we talked about it like all day on Friday. Mm-hmm. People were like, I need a running back. I need a wide receiver. I need a running back. I need a wide receiver. Like, that's what needs to happen. And the Cowboys, they didn't do that whatsoever. But instead, they picked two players that I'm not saying like both were first round evaluations, but you could view them as easy second rounders and fringy first round people.
I think Broadus had E at 25.
Okay.
On his stack. And then I think he had Ravel at 18.
See.
Or 17, somewhere like really high up there.
And Kuiper had him at 28 and 31. So to my point,
there
like fringy first round. And so I saw kind of an.
Probably not first round grades considering exactly. We heard there were like 15.
But like,
yeah.
You got to pick somebody. Yep. But, and so I saw kind of a split decision between like on listening to our coverage right here on The Fan, which again, what did I tell you? Friday, even more impressive. Saturday, you're embarrassed for other stations.
Mm-hmm.
You are.
Yep.
And they're like, hey, love the value, love the value, love the value. And then you see on social media or some of our platforms, people are like, oh, now you don't have a wide receiver or running back. Like, how do you guys feel about the need versus best player available? Because it really does feel like in this instance, having not seen their board yet, they went best player available.
Yes. And you say this too, why do you make your board? Why'd you spend all this time working on this board if you're seeing players there and you're not taking them?
Oh, I'm sorry. It was Kendrick Lamar, not Travis Scott. My bad. So I have WrestleMania on the brain still.
So whenever you have those players there, I mean, it's, I think you kind of just, I got to take that guy. That's something that I wanted. You know, it's something that we designed that we said can be a helpful player, and nobody's taking this guy. We know what he's capable of. So I like the fact that they went best player available. I'm actually, I can't walk away from their draft saying that I don't feel pretty good about it. Because the need part of it, they needed a running back.
Yep.
They got two running backs. They have nine running backs, essentially. And they're going to throw all of them into the mix and say, let's see how this works.
Yeah. Like the Cleveland Browns quarterback room.
Yeah. And it will almost every year, Kevin, it seems like the Cowboys get defiant about one position that everybody feels they need. And they're like, screw you. We aren't doing what you think we're going to do. We're taking all these other things.
Do you think they prepared us for that on Tuesday with the pre-draft presser? And Jerry's like, hey, we didn't think running back was as much of an issue as other people seemed to.
He thought offensive line was the bigger problem. And I think we all agreed with that, too, at the time. We were like, look, if you have a good offensive line and a good running back, you have a good running game. I do kind of find a little intrigue in the idea that they might shorten and squeeze this field a little bit for Dak coming back off the injury. Maybe a little more of the some stuff out of the backfield and tight end stuff, and you know, getting the ball to CeeDee Lamb as frequently as possible to shorten that field. But that's a different. That's for later on after we watch how this all fits together. I liked what they did though, Kevin.
Yeah,
especially with those top three picks. You talked about how important these top three picks were for them, and let's look at this down the road. Diggs, do you think he's here for the rest of his contract?
No.
I
don't know what he's going to do this year.
We heard some things about the prep for his injury, his rehabilitation, and how maybe he could have worked a little bit harder.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of money that he was given, and then he got injured again, and now you're like, oh, man, this is a lot of games you're missing. I got to be prepared for something like that. I got to make sure that I have a body that can be out there to play if you're not going to be capable of playing. So I got to make sure I do that. So they get a guy who Kevin – He kind of has this Jordan Lewis. Listen, he has a lot of really great skills that I like. I mean, you can say he's very well-rounded cornerback. But I think the one that I like the most about him when I watch him is Jordan Lewis never did what? He never made business decisions.
Yeah,
Jordan Lewis was put his nose in there and hit somebody. And that's what I like about Siavon Revel Jr. I like that about him. So, and then if you're saying Bland wants his payday one day and you're moving on from Diggs, you have somebody that you're like, you will feel comfortable probably in a year or two to say he's that dude. He's that dude on the other side.
And, you know, we talked about it leading into the draft. Like, how many positions on the Cowboys are you like, we're great, we're rolling?
So let me ask you this. On the cornerback front. That kind of is a position of need now.
I'm not going to argue that at
BPA.
All.
So that was kind of a combination. Now, on the edge with Donovan, I'm kind of curious on that because you got Sam Williams, you got Fowler, you got Micah, you got him. Neyland is growing into the position, but he's more of a, you know, right now you're thinking first two downs on him. Where does he fit in? Is he a need at all?
See, and I don't think so, and we'll get back to cornerback in just a second, but I wonder if they look at this and they were like, he can be the second best one we have. Now, that doesn't mean behind only Micah. That doesn't mean straight away, but if you're like, hey, you only have Fowler for a year, Sam Williams, I would love that, but he has been hurt, and he was hurt last year. Marshawn Nealon, look, you hope it continues to move in the right direction, but you can never be sure. I wonder if they looked at that on the board in the second round, and they're like, he could be the second best one we have behind Micah.
Okay, isn't like we're replacing Micah with him in your mind.
Look, I've said this many times. I would be stunned if the Cowboys were like, yeah, you know what? We are going to trade Micah Parsons. Stunned if that happens.
Because their history doesn't set for that?
Exactly. Okay, all right. Exactly. And so if that happens, well, then we'll have a totally different conversation. But I just wonder if they were sitting there and they're like, hey, this is a premium position. Cornerback is obviously really become, in terms of especially the money, a very premium position. If they're like, we think these could be the second best ones on our team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you think that your third round pick can sooner rather than later be CB2 or at least CB3, then, hey, make a move.
Sounds like if a good band in the 90s.
Yes. Or if you think your second round pick, you're like, hey, maybe not this year, but within the next 2 years, he's going to be our second off the edge. Then that makes a lot of sense, because when we talk going into the draft about the positions where you're just like, we're perfect, there's not really that many. Yeah. And we kind of argued if there are any on the Cowboys. Like, I can't look at this and go, I know they're good at edge and cornerback, but I can't believe they drafted that person. Like, I know those players were good. I can't believe. Look, I'll take more cornerbacks, more edges. Now, it did come at the expense of wide receiver 2 and running back 1.
Do you feel like they're going to try and replace wide receiver 2?
Yes.
With something else?
Yes.
Or do you think they're going to do it via the old, hey, Ryan Flournoy, he's a dude. He's a guy.
Look.
Hey, guys, don't forget about Cropper.
I also heard those rantings during the press conference, and that's great. If you tell me that in 2029, Ryan Flournoy has moved up to wide receiver number 2, rock on. Can't wait to see the journey. But now, what are we even talking
about? That's the thing that I find most intriguing, Kevin, is at what point?
Yeah.
Like, if the Cowboys are going to wait until training camp and go, all right, guys, we're seeing these guys haven't turned into this.
Yes.
At what point does that trade now? Did you screw yourself by holding on a little too long, or did you find a diamond in the rough and you're like, no, we actually have one here?
So I think they are going to make the move for wide receiver. And I don't know if you like this wide receiver or not, but the word going around was George Pickens. Now, it's not specifically laid out by Todd Archer, but a potential disgruntled wide receiver was being discussed for the Cowboys. So when we talk about those, like, substantive trades, I think George Pickens is one of those people.
Mm.
And because that's one of the things, I go back to Friday with Steven. I thought this was really interesting. He said those two substantive deals that they're working on can happen after the draft.
Yep.
So they were not dependent on
those picks.
Yeah, you got to deal your pick off for whatever. Now, I don't know if that will be a player or if that will be next year then. But I think one of those targets is George Pickens.
So you're not as upset about ignoring it in the draft, because maybe, and here's the thing about Pickens, and you're going to see this everywhere. Regarding culture,
fair.
That dude is a diva as it
I
gets
got it.
And has not produced
what I expected
for a lot more out of him. And I'm constantly like pushing that guy because I know he can make some wild ass catches.
Yeah.
But I'm like, hey, the typical stuff, the easy stuff, get it done. And I'm kind of interested in the personality, and if Shoddy's like, hey, I need culture, guys. Is he like, oh, I got the culture I need.
Yeah.
I got the core, and we can handle, our infrastructure can handle a guy like that as long as the play is good. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But that ultimately, you're not as upset about them passing on receiver then?
I'm more upset about them passing on running back until later. But I want to make this clear. I support what they did. This was the agitating thing, and I know there's nothing you can do to go back to it, but when you saw that literally pick 114 that the Cowboys dealt off for Mingo was a running back that got selected, you're just kind of like, oh! Like, that's what I needed.
You sleep in the bed that you make.
I know, and there's nothing you can do to change that now, but I think there's a better chance that they trade for a wide receiver that we're like, okay, then you trade for a running back that you're like, that's RB1.
So you hate Jaden Blue?
No.
Is what I'm hearing
I
here.
I think, don't you think though, Jaden Blue, he's a change of pace back, right?
It's actually interesting because he can do things. Turpin can do some of the similar things too. Catching the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah.
And what is it when you watch Turpin, what was his yards per carry, like 9?
I would have to go back and check that. Running back.
It was something insane. I think that Jaden Blue can fill those types of roles. He's a very good receiver, like a very good receiver out of the backfield. The biggest factor that every Texas fan is going to send in right now is don't put the ball on the ground. And that is something that he had a tendency to do. So I totally get that part of it. But he is a good receiver. He's fast. And I think that, Kevin, this team lacks speed in so many different ways that they need more of it. So I like the pick. I would have liked some other running backs ahead of him for sure. But I seeing what they got in the first three, and I know what where the fourth round pick was, I feel pretty good with the running back.
And I think that's why when all comes down to it, just in terms of value right now, I like what they did. If they would have made picks in the second or third round that people were like, yeah, that was a fringy second round guy or fringy third round guy, I'd have been like, ugh, just take a position of need.
They stuck with it.
Yeah, instead, they got two players that everyone's like, yeah, I'm kind of surprised those players are on the board at this point.
The fan text is absolutely killing us right now. Is it true that Mingo's been looking better than Tolbert in practice? Guys, we got Mingo. We are loaded. And then you guys are totally sleeping on Mingo the Merciless.
I think they're being sarcastic.
I hope the best for Jonathan Mingo opposite CeeDee Lamb. I absolutely do. And I hope that Dak can get the ball to him. And I hope that this offense under Brian Schottenheimer and his new group is as creative as they need to be in order to make this offense go.
Did you know the Dallas Cowboys minicamp, rookie minicamp, starts on Friday?
This Friday?
This Friday.
Dude. I think
they'll have to wait to watch Thunderbolts.
I think Thursday I'm gonna be out at the stadium for baseball game, Kevin.
Me too.
If you want to go.
Yeah, let's do it. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, these are kind of intertwined. Did you ever pull off a prank that you regretted? But also, did Shador and Ewers get snubbed, or did the talent evaluators potentially just get it right?
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out.
Every home run.
Gone.
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Next on The Fan.
With the 144th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Cleveland Browns select Shador Sanders.
There it goes. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Talk about a couple of different things involving Shador Sanders, Quinn Ewers, and did you ever pull off a prank that you regretted? But rookie minicamp for the Cowboys starts on Friday. It will also be going on Saturday where you'll get the, full-blown practice, but you'll get whatever version of practice is collectively bargained and allowed.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested to see how they're able to maximize whatever they're trying to do. Because with, like you just said, the amount of time and hard work that they say you can do, you got to be creative, so...
So all kinds of people had all kinds of thoughts about why Shador Sanders fell in the draft. And we can dive into that. We can dive into if you were surprised that Quinn Ewers fell down to the seventh round. I don't think we were. But also, pulled off a prank that you were like, I feel kind of bad about that. Because when you saw the prank on Friday... with the, what looked like stereotypical frat boys doing the things. You were like, yeah, that's pretty much what I envisioned.
And then when you find out that one of the guys, the Atlanta Falcons defensive coordinator's son, you're like, oh, man, how did he get access to that?
So, and he talked about it. He saw the, I believe it was the iPad that had his number on it and went ahead and wrote it down. And they also prank called at least two other players. And then immediately, I mean, come on. You saw how excited they were when they pulled off that prank. Or if you haven't seen their end of the video. But then, the apology.
I do have a question, though.
Okay.
That is not an original prank.
No, not at all.
Do you? Does it need to be original to be even to be like up there? This is just a prank that we've seen happen to a lot of players.
Yeah.
It just happens to be, and we saw it, what, three in this one. It just happens to be the higher profile situation, I guess.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Okay. I think that's probably the notoriety. And so the Falcons released a statement, and the DC's son, who was responsible for this, posted a public apology on Friday night. I made a tremendous mistake. Shador, what I did was completely inexcusable, embarrassing, and shameful. I'm so sorry I took away from your moment. It was selfish and childish. I could never imagine getting ready to celebrate one of the greatest moments of your life, and I made a terrible mistake and messed with that moment. I will tell you this. In terms of the verbiage there, I think it's much better than what you usually get from people. It's like, I'm sorry if people were offended. You know, like this feels more heartfelt, except for the fact that it's just written out and, you know, all of that. But they were so pumped the day before. And so, like, you can't put this in your apology.
In the moment, you're having a fun time with that.
But afterwards, you're like, I'm sorry I got caught. Right?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And I do wonder, too, if somebody, the concept of your big moments in life and somebody doing that and really screwing with you. Ultimately, Kevin, down the road, it's a funny story.
Sure.
Even for Shador. It's a, can you believe I got pranked by that? I can't. It'll never happen again. I tell you that, though. It'll never happen to me again. But, like, ultimately, it'll be down the road something you can laugh off, and he should laugh it off pretty quickly. But in that moment, you're pissed. You're mad. Yeah. You're furious about that. And people are trying to act furious for him and everything, and I get it. I can't say how I would respond in that moment, but I'd probably be pretty ticked off. But oh well, man, it was a prank. It happened. I don't like the it was childish. And I never should have done it. Pranks can be fun. Like, they can be fun, but I bet Dad had something to do with, man. Come on, bro. What are you doing here?
For sure, because here are the key words. The NFL is investigating a prank call. And as soon as that happened, you know his dad was like, hey.
You realize what I got to deal with now because you thought a stupid prank was going to be funny?
And he's like, I don't care if you did think it was funny. I don't care if you still think it's funny.
You're moving into an apartment on your own now. You're out of that place with whoever those guys were. You're in a fraternity. You're not anymore. Yeah, dude. You're on your own.
So, yeah. So, I would just, like, I get.
And you're grounded from your phone for a month.
How old is he? Can he still pull that off? I don't know if he lives.
Depends on how, if you're taking care of the kids' financials, that's tough for them.
Maybe so. So I wanted to know, first off, if there was ever a prank that you regretted, because I'll have to admit, I didn't make the phone call or say anything, but I was in the room when a phone call kind of like this happened. It was after Texas A&M lost by 68,000 points.
That's more than anybody's ever scored.
Yeah, except for in this game.
Putting Georgia Tech to shame.
Yeah, exactly. I think they lost by like 38 or 39 points in the 1997 Big 12 championship game. And I guess, I don't know if it was through the campus directory or it's just because we weren't as advanced as we eventually became in society. And some of my friends called and left mean-spirited voicemails on Brandon Stewart's voicemail or whatever, but I feel like I made amends for it by naming my first son after him.
I was
like, all right, let's make, but I was in the room for that, and I'm sure at the time when I was 18, I probably thought it was very funny.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of kids did the "is your refrigerator running" prank, and that was hilarious to us right at the time. I did some prank phone calls, but usually it was to my like family. You know, I do voices and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The Roy D. Mercer was hilarious. So I used to do that.
Caller ID, really.
It changed
really,
everything
really
at that
heard
point.
The prank call.
Changed everything.
I know. Poor Star 67. It never stood a chance.
And so that's part one of it. And the NFL is investigating. I don't know what they're going to find. Hey, That kid already came out and said it was him. Yeah. And he said, this is exactly
how they want to know the security. Yeah. Was it sitting? Did they say it was sitting on?
He said there was at their house, the iPad was open and he flipped through it and found the number.
Oh, and that breaks rule number one.
You don't scroll.
Don't scroll. If you see something, that's fine. You can see something. But Flula has told us you do not scroll.
Yes, I agree with that. That was a lesson I learned. But then along the way.
Unless you're like a spy, then it's your job.
Or
like
PI.
That's your job to scroll.
Then along the way, Shador Sanders and Quinn Ewers both took really big falls. And the reason why I want to throw Quinn Ewers in there is because going into the season, he was going to be a first round draft pick.
Yeah.
Like he absolutely was.
And he was. And Deion 100%.
Was right when Deion was right when he said that.
Yeah. And so this is for Quinn Ewers.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
But yeah, for Quinn Ewers, he had the potential to maybe be the number one pick. And he went back to school and everyone was like, you just watch. And then as the season went along, whether it was durability, whether it was arm strength, whatever you think, happy feet, whatever you think the specific reasons were, quite frankly, we've talked about a lot on the show. I think where he got drafted was maybe a round or two low, but about right. So both of them fall way down. So is the issue with the pre-draft process and not getting honest answers from people, or did the process work exactly how it's supposed to? Because they were like, you can hype up whatever the hell you want. We've seen the tape, and we don't think it's going to translate to the next level.
Dude, it's a pretty accurate opinion right there.
Yeah.
We know that you got the Arizona iced tea deal when you were in high school or whatever it was, some tea deal when he went to Ohio State. We know you've gotten these things along the way, but what really matters is not the amount of commercials you've gotten.
Yeah.
What really matters to us is what we see on the field and the character we're looking for. And, you know, when it comes to Quinn Ewers, what you see on the field is a dude that panics whenever he has to run because he knows he can't run.
Agreed.
And there's a lot of other tools that he's missing there. Although there were some, they got to where they were for a reason. Like they won some games for a reason.
And that's always the tricky thing. But you feel like you've seen it with whether it was.
They're a good team, though.
I'm going to cross sports here. Whether it was Tim Tebow or Tyler Hansbrough, you're like, that kid's badass. Like, how is that not going to translate to the next level? And you're like, it's just not. And that, you know who one of the people I thought about, and I thought about it very specifically for these reasons that we went over. I thought about Marcus Mariota.
Okay.
Because one of the things, I don't know if you remember this conversation from 3 or 4 weeks ago. Marcus Mariota is there were some scouts who looked past. He has amazing athleticism for college. But when he gets to the next level, some of those same things aren't going to work. And so I thought about that comparison with Shador. I wonder if they were like, some of that escapability or that mobility, I don't think is going to work anywhere near the same at the next level. And if not for that, then you're going to slide him quite a bit down the board.
Yeah, and I think Mike was right when he said this a long time ago. You've played under one coach your whole life. How are you going to handle criticism from another man?
Right.
And how's your dad going to handle that? Whenever he hears that you were, I think Deion, honestly,
meeting with the team.
Quite honestly, watching how Deion coached most of the players on that team, he's going to go, yeah, that's how you're supposed to be coaching the NFL.
Yeah.
That's just how I feel it's going to go. But because of the big personality that exists with Quinn Ewers, probably similar things too, where they're like, we know these things about you, but there are well-defined things in the NFL, big-time throws, you know, the ability to read certain things. Those things are very well-defined by the coaches that are at the highest level with that. So they're already thinking that way. So I see it. It was very, Kevin, those two quarterbacks specifically, that makes a lot of sense the way you just laid it out.
And I will say where they eventually got picked, I thought that the Browns and the Dolphins got very good value. For their picks.
The Dolphins, yes, they got value. It's interesting because Zach Wilson's there. Tua's there. Now they got him. I'm very...
Cleveland has every quarterback that it feels like has ever existed. I think they're going five deep in their quarterback room right now.
Yeah, and you know what? Let the competition play itself out. Definitely let the competition play. Obviously, in Miami, the contract is going to own the competition there because the contract is what it is.
Now...
I love these pranks that we're seeing, though. This is sad.
But I will say, real quick, don't you think that if Tua goes down and Quinn comes in and he lights it up, that conversation becomes a little bit murkier? Like, it's just as you said, that contract is so massive that it's going to make it difficult. But, you know, it could plant a little bit of a seed of doubt there in that Dolphins ownership.
Don't you think Wilson is going to get the first shot, though?
Yes. Like, yes, but at the same time, we have seen enough of Zach Wilson. Yeah, so like, I think he will kind of play, if he does get that opportunity, he'll kind of play himself out of it.
I'm with you on that. All right. Do you want to go through some of these pranks? Because some of them are very sad.
From the 214, I canceled my uncle's tea time at Pebble Beach when I was 15, thinking they would not believe me. He waited 2 years to go on that trip. From the 559, I regret TPing one of my classmates' houses who lived in my neighborhood. Her dad chased me and my friends with a gun. Right. We TP'd their house 4 times in 1 week.
All right, let's stop it right there. Now, those are two different things. Because the first one, you felt bad because it actually had an impact on somebody you cared about.
Yeah.
The second one, you only cared about because of the consequence to you.
You're terrified for your life.
If he would have come out with a broom and he's like, damn you kids and your music.
He'd laugh.
Like,
yeah, you would have stepped on that bag of flaming poo.
Yeah, but it was the fact that he had a gun.
You never know how somebody's going to respond to a prank.
You're right.
You never know. Just like Broadus always says about people in cars, and he's like, hey, this state allows you to carry a gun.
Yes.
I take it easy.
From the 940. Oh, this one is sad. My brother and I prank called my grandmother and told her it was a collect call from the Denton County Jail, and her boyfriend was in jail for a DWI.
Oh.
She cried, and we felt bad afterwards.
One night I got a call at work out on the border that my mom was in the hospital.
Too far.
And I freaked out. Told everybody I had to go. You know, it didn't matter. I was a hosted on the border at the time. Got to my car, and my buddies are sitting in the car. And I was like, what's going on? And they were like, we did a bomb threat. He said your mom was in the hospital so you could get off work early. Let's go party. And I was like, guys.
Hey, my goodness.
Next time, just give me a heads up ahead of time, right?
Exactly. By the way, this is going to go down. You just need to know about it.
They were like, we wanted you, you know, they had to believe it. You believed it, so they believed it too. I was like, no, don't do that again. I'm a good actor. I'll be all right.
Yeah, that's that is a bit much right there. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Why do the Angels hate their players and fans?
Because.
Next on The Fan.
Suarez! Fly ball! There's four! And we're tied!
And they still lost that game. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Now, let's start with the individual we just played the highlight of. Eugenio Suarez hit 4 home runs. First time players hit 4 home runs in a game since 2017. And the Diamondbacks still lost the game 8-7.
4 home runs. What a day.
Yes.
That's a magic day
right there. They lost.
Dude, remember, was Josh Hamilton's? Did we lose or were we going to lose?
I thought we won that game like 20-2 or something.
Yeah, pretty handedly, didn't we? I think it was like 12-3 or something.
All right. Never happens then. Never happens where you hit 4 home runs and almost lose.
I believe the only other time it's ever happened was in 1986.
Really?
Yeah.
To who?
Oh.
Mr. Fact Man.
I think the Cubs lost that day. And if they didn't lose, they won. All right. Look it up. It was something like that. 1986. All right. Let's take you down to Class A.
That's Boach.
Yeah. Okay. There's a lot of things I want to ask Boach right now. So, Mets Class A pitcher Ramon Gomez threw a pitch 104.5 miles an hour.
Nice.
All right. That's impressive. Very impressive. Are we getting to the point where people can throw the ball too fast? Like, if you got to 100, that's really neat. 104.5? What do you do? Just stick your bat out?
What's his average velo? Do we have that?
Ooh,
because if
that
was a one-off thing, like that's a dude just reaching back and grabbing a little extra and putting some on it. And maybe there was adrenaline that went into it too. I don't know which pitch that was, if it was a first one or a last one, but 104. No, Kevin, we want faster. We want 100. We want to get to 110 at some point. All right.
Can people hit at 110 miles an hour?
I bet back in the 40s, whenever only dudes could throw 60. They were like, man, nobody's ever going to be able to hit 75 miles an hour plus a curveball. What is this?
Yeah, and his curveball is going to be like 84. And you're like, what the hell am I supposed to do with that?
Yeah, let's keep. Now, the thing about it, though, is our bodies legitimately aren't built to last.
Yeah.
Damian Lillard's a perfect example of that. All these guys that get injured at some point and being able to throw 104 that frequently with the kind of grip they're talking about, don't know if it'll last.
From the 817, can we not talk about the Little League way that the Rangers lost? Coming up at 11:20, leave your radio on, but just turn the volume down.
No, keep it up.
Okay. Well, that's what we're going to talk about. Yeah. Tyler Glasnow, he exited after his last start. He said it's shoulder discomfort. And I get it. I kind of wonder if Josh Jung is in this place. After the latest injury, he goes, it's just kind of getting exhausting. Because it's like, whether it's something different or something not, but you're just like, again, why can't I just be healthy and play freaking baseball?
That's got to be the most frustrating thing of an often injured player, especially when you have DeGrom. Think about like all the skills that Jacob DeGrom has, but what's the one thing we always asked was his health?
Yeah.
Corey Seager.
Yeah.
When we signed him, I was so excited about all the things that Corey Seager can be. And then you're like, crap, he's probably going to miss 10 games every month. It's a weird feeling to know that you're best player. And it happens like that.
Now, for the Angels, I meant to talk about this last week. I find this incredibly fascinating. Do you know that the Angels do kind of getaway days different than pretty much every team in Major League Baseball?
I did not know.
So, most teams, you'll see it. Early afternoon game, maybe 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock.
If it's a late game, usually the next day they're off.
Exactly. For the Angels, for example, you look back a couple of weeks ago, they scheduled theirs for 6:29 instead of 6:38. So they did a whole 9 minutes early. Do you know why?
Daylight savings, probably.
Because 6:29 was absolutely the latest they were allowed to start the game based on the collective bargaining agreement.
Really?
So essentially, you have to have it that the players will be on the plane based on an average length game at a certain time. And so the Angels calculate it down to the absolute last minute so they can make that happen. Here's one of their own players, and actually several of their own players hate it. I don't think it should be allowed, to be honest. I think there definitely should be rules in place to prevent that, because it's kind of crazy. Mike Trout has spoken out about it. Kenley Jansen said, I don't think it's healthy for anybody to finish playing a game like that. Get up, get in at 6 in the morning, then you got a 7 o'clock game, and the next couple days you got 1 o'clock games. It's definitely not fair. And this is a conscious decision by the Angels management. Why do you think they do it differently than everybody else?
Somebody thinks they're smarter. Somebody in the front office or somewhere thinks that they're smarter than everybody else and that they found the way to get the edge on somebody else.
Now, that is possible, but I think it comes down strictly to dollars and cents.
They don't want to leave the lights on the stadium that long?
No, not that. I mean, wouldn't you also still get charged more for having a night game because you have the lights on and stuff? I really want to know. If you've ever been like a stadium manager, I don't care.
Or Kevin, maybe with TXU, don't you get the evening hours? You get free or something? So maybe they're like,
really got to hurt if you're on the TXU plan for like a major stadium. But I really want to know if you're like if you run a stadium or you have access to see the power bills for any of these, I really just want to know. Can you just give me an example of 1 month what the power looks like? So a year ago, the night games for the Angels drew 24,442 fans. And then the day game drew about 5,000 less.
Okay.
And so they're like, hey, if we're going to draw 5,000 fewer people in a day game, we need to have it at night. And so while most teams would have the afternoon game, this year the Angels play 11 of their 13 getaway day games at night.
It is about being able to pay the players and also have money in your pocket. And Kevin, I mean, how often do you just look at what the Rangers did when they looked and saw that people weren't showing up to their stadium? They invested in their team. So in a way to change and get some butts in seats. I've always been curious about that. How do people have the time to go to day baseball games? I've never understood.
Workforce
it.
Has changed. Why is there always traffic now?
At 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Man, and Friday's the worst.
What are we doing, guys?
Because everybody has a contingency, like we're all going to get an early start on the weekend.
Mm-hmm. But
and
we
then
can't.
All
we
of
can't.
A sudden, 3 o'clock is dead in the middle of rush hour.
I used to always say, like, on the weekends, like going to whatever, it would be. For me, it was like, oh, well, if there's traffic now, it's when there's traffic. Like,
yeah.
It's a certainty. It's so bad.
And look, I know other people are going to send in every road we have, but it feels like if you have to get on 635 one way or the other, you're going to be late or have to go on the express. Like, that's just, those are your only options.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have to leave like you're crossing the Western Plains back in the day and leave 2 weeks in advance and hope that you make it there on time. All right.
Wow.
You've been on 635, right?
I'll be honest. I was on it Saturday. I was on it Saturday. It was wide open. It's been a while since I've been on 6. I even said that when we got on there. I was like, dude, it's been a while. This looks amazing.
Yeah. And like,
but Saturday evening does seem like it's pretty functional.
And they try to entrap you with, hey, we got this bootleg circus that always seems to be up. Or you can go to the mall or this IMAX theater. But no, you're stuck having to be in traffic. Anyways, let's go from that to this. 2028. You know, we've talked about the collective bargaining agreement coming up and how that could potentially lead to a strike or a work stoppage. But I wanted to throw this out there because this is something that the San Francisco Giants did last week as well. They said that they were open to joining the nationalized MLB package in 2028. So Rob Manfred, one of the things that he's talked about is he wants to reorganize the entire structure of how the league does media rights. And he essentially wants to sell it as, yes, as an entire package. Because like obviously now you're wrapping up the deal with ESPN. You've got the deal with Apple TV. Teams have regional sports networks, and we've seen how problematic that's been. So Rob Manfred's goal is to get enough MLB clubs. Now, all of them would be ideal, but Dodgers,
you're
Yankees,
not getting the Yankees.
Yeah,
you're
I could see
the Braves. Yeah, probably not getting the White Sox.
Why you would not do that? But they want to get enough so they can sell the local media rights to Amazon, Google, at whatever your big tech company of preference is.
Yeah, because that money is like a guaranteed thing and all that.
Yes,
that's the one thing that I'm curious about when it comes to that is the ironing out of all the smaller details. And I don't know if they can do it. They're really going to have to prove to these teams that they're going to be able to maximize what they get locally. And like right now, I don't know where the Rangers sit when they're looking at Ranger Sports Network. Are they looking at it going, dude, we're selling out.
Yeah.
This is fantastic for us. Or are they going, man, it would be awesome if we got some national money in addition to the local money.
Yeah, and I'll be interested if in, let's say, 2 years. So, like, you're right about on the precipice of this.
We have seen a lot of the same commercials.
Oh, yeah.
So far, yeah.
For sure. That's how we know so much about energy for everyone. I would say I wonder if next year or the year after, they're like, look how much progress we've made.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we don't want to jump in on
yeah
this.
Give us maybe give us about 5 years and let's revisit this.
Yeah, I'm really not sure how that
when
part
CBA is done
is going to play out, and you'll probably be on strike for a while anyway. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's puck around and find out, seriously, where the heck are the stars next on The Fan.